You love your sweet country with all of your life, like your mother and father before you. And the land runs deep, so deep in your blood, your flesh and your bone and your sinews. Descendants and ancestors deep as it goes, a relative circle as far as your eye. It can all be undone in the flash of an instant. Mechanical thunder that bruises the sky, bruises the sky. Goodbye to my relatives all of my life. Never again will I see. You won't have a name when they fly the big airplanes. Collateral damage is all you will be, all you will be. From a faraway place where the language is strange, they come with their angry machines. And the clouds rain a metal that hurts when it falls, and it shatters the ground, making everything scream. And the children run crippled, the old people hide. The babies are lost in the rubble debris. But the strangers don't know you, you are only a number. Underreported on color TV, color TV. Goodbye to my relatives all of my life. Never again will I see. You won't have a name when they fly the big airplanes. Collateral damage is all you will be, all you will be. A mother is more than a number to a baby who now has to grow up on its own. And a grandfather, blinded and crippled at his age, is more than just a statistical drone. All of these people are human, and humans are more than a footnote. This cynical language of killing is killing us. Cut like a bone in humanity's throat, humanity's throat. Goodbye to my relatives all of my life. Never again will I see. You won't have a name when they fly the big airplanes. Collateral damage is all you will be, all you will be. So if you see a ghost in the lonely wind blowing like shrapnel, the sound of the rain, and it's speaking a language you don't understand, but you know what it means just the same. There's no time for innocence, all of that's over now. Don't say that you didn't know. When they come to collect for the damages owed, the collateral may be your own, may be your own. Goodbye to my relatives all of my life. Never again will I see. You won't have a name when they fly the big airplanes. Collateral damage is all you will be, all you will be.
Jim Page has been busking on the streets of Seattle, Washington for the better part of three decades. Growing up in Palo Alto, California, Jim first picked up a guitar at age 15. He cites the stylings of John Lee Hooker, Lead Belly, and Lightning Hopkins as inspirations, though doesn't consider himself a blues man. Drawing on personal experiences and current world events, Jim's particular brand of music leaves a lasting impression on its listeners. Jim now works full-time playing gigs in and around the Northwest as well as touring the U.S., and I'm very happy to welcome you, Jim Page, to our studios here at Free Radio.
Thanks. I'm sorry it took me so long to get here. I got hung up and stuff over in the valley, and then the traffic wasn't what I expected. You know how that goes.
We understand how it is, yes. So thanks for coming here. What was that song you just played?
That was called Collateral Damage.
In response to,
well, the term collateral damage that they've been using, to my knowledge, since the Gulf War, at least that's when I first heard it. Originally, I found it to be an horrific term to use when referring to human beings, because the only definition for the word collateral that I had in my mind was, if, for instance, I want to buy a TV set, don't have enough money on me right now, I will leave my leather jacket as collateral, which means that if I don't come back with the money, they'll keep the jacket, which means that civilians will do until they get soldiers. See, that's real cynical. And then I started thinking about the second half of the word, damage, the second half of the phrase, damage. I'm a guitar player. If my guitar gets damaged, I take it to a repair shop. Okay, those people aren't damaged, they're dead. So it's a completely horrific terminology. And I just started thinking, well, you know, somebody better say something. So, you know, I write a lot of different kinds of songs, and recently, with these events that we're living through, I find myself writing about things that I really think somebody should be talking about.
And there's quite a few to choose from in that menu. Quite a bit has changed, actually, since your last visit here to Free Radio. You were last here in December of 2000, right about the time that Al Gore and GW were still battling out over who was going to sit in the throne.
That's right. And the coup hadn't been
fully in place.
Yes.
We're living in an entirely different world now, and I'm curious how, as a musician who's been writing socially conscious lyrics now for over 30 years, that song obviously is a perfect illustration of where you're coming from, but how has the world changed for you as a struggling artist?
Many more people are interested in hearing. You know, it's like Michael Moore is getting sold out crowds no matter where he goes, and that was not happening before. He was getting big crowds, but not on that level. Many more people since 9/11. My first experience after 9/11, as they call it, was one of numbness. I was numb, and everybody else I knew was numb, and we started getting thoughts. We didn't know whether we could say them or not. We didn't know whether it would be treasonous. I didn't know whether it would be treasonous to sing certain songs or not. And it wasn't really too long, a month and a half or so, before people started to come out with their thoughts. I mean, the explosion of intelligence was quite phenomenal, I mean, that I saw and I'm still seeing. So, yeah, the war has just started, really.
That it has.
Yeah, let's say that it might be a real war on terrorism. You know who the terrorists are, and let's see if we can't, you know.
So you've anyway. You put out this new CD here? Is it actually have a title yet?
It's called Collateral Damage is the name of the CD.
Collateral Damage.
And it's, there's a couple of songs that, there's one song on there actually that was written about 12 years ago, and that's the Palestine song. I've been doing that on and off for 12 years, and I just started recently doing it again. And because of certain responses that I got from certain people, I wrote another song on there called There Has to Be a Reason. But pretty much everything on there is dealing with our situation since 9/11. I don't have that many of them with me, unfortunately. It's like the, you know, par for the course the way I do things. So hopefully I'll have more soon, you know. It's a solo project. It's just me and the guitar.
Just
but you. Yeah, but it's all songs concerned with that.
You're going to be playing tonight at the Resource Center. I'm curious where else you've been around the nation before Santa Cruz on this recent tour?
Well, let's see. I just started up in Seattle, and I played Portland. I played Eugene. I played Redding. And now here I am doing Santa Cruz. And then I go back up. I do Willits. And I do Briceland. And I do Arcata. And I do Albion. And then I do Deadwood, which is a little community between Eugene and the coast. And then I do a two-day festival in Eugene. And then I go home. I have two new CD projects coming out pretty soon. One is a compilation. Well, the other one is actually a remanufacture of music from Big Red. And then I've got a whole bunch of – I've rounded up all my old master tapes except for one record, and I think I know where that is now. So I can start reissuing all that stuff. And then I'll get a U-Haul trailer when I travel around and, you know, bring all these things with me. It's fun. It's interesting. It's like, you know, doing what I do, this is real naked bare bones music. You know, I mean, I do play with other musicians, and I toured with Leftover Salmon and stuff, and then I have a whole band up there and all that stuff. But most of the time I'm solo, and when you're solo, it's like it's the song that counts. And doing the kind of stuff I do, I've always just been kind of interested in the hows and whys of our condition.
Right.
You know, you think about those things. I mean, I think any reasonable person should think about them. So I write about them. I always loved old Leadbelly songs like, you know, Midnight Special and stuff that sang about those conditions. And the way they were put together were spectacularly wonderful to my mind. And that's what one of the main things that I like to do. And right now, I mean, so many people are becoming energized by connecting the dots, seeing the contradictions. It gives you an energy. It's like a battery. It's like, you know, connecting the battery terminals. When you put those contradictions together, you're energized into, God, you've got to do something. No matter what that something is, you got to start talking, going to meetings, singing songs, whatever it is, you know.
On your last visit to our studios, you talked a bit about what you referred to as the subcutaneous sort of under-the-surface fascism that we, police state even, I think you referred to it as.
Yeah, that's what I use, yeah.
And now we have Bush in office and, of course, 9/11 and all that's happened since then, we're seeing the FBI being granted essentially COINTELPRO powers once again.
Uh-huh.
Do you still think that it's under the surface?
No, I don't think it's under the surface anymore at all. I think it's right on top. Another new news item I saw this morning was that the CIA has loosened its self-imposed, so to speak, regulations, so to speak, right. So that they are now free to form alliances with unsavory characters. Now, excuse me, when have they not formed alliances with unsavory characters? But this is what they have publicly proclaimed, okay? Now, I sat there and watched George W. address the Congress on whatever it was, the 12th or 13th, you know, of September, and, you know, come out with all of his, you know, America-saving plans, like, you know, a homeland security, you know, and a light bulb went on in my head. Now, wait a minute. You know, I've seen that before. So I go home and I look it up, Covert Action Information Bulletin, about 4 years ago. That thing has been on the books since 96.
From the where now? Where'd you reference
Covert this? Action Covert Information Action Bulletin. I can send you all the stuff if you want. It's been around since 96. That's the subcutaneous part, when it's around and nobody knows about it. Okay, it's been around. Now they bring it out to the front. I mean, all this stuff, they can't put things together that fast. You can't build committees and get all the money going that fast. These things were already going. They just unleashed funding for them that, you know, they had to kind of take away surreptitiously from, I don't know, healthcare or something, you know, schools, you know. Now it's just right out in the open.
How complicit do you think Bush is in all of this, in the attacks themselves of 9/11?
Well, myself, what I think, I mean, I vacillate, okay? My first thought was the Reichstag. That was my very first thought. And then I started thinking about it, and I'm still thinking about it. And like I say, I vacillate. But most of the time what I figure is they knew something was going to happen. They knew it was going to be fairly big. They didn't know when exactly, and they didn't know where exactly, but they couldn't wait for it because that would give them what they needed. Okay, I don't think America did it to itself. I think America bothered people enough to have it happen. I think they trained enough operatives. It's like what they call blowback. You know, our boy is coming back to get us, you know. And I think it's really, really, really dirty and really, really, really sleazy. You know, but like I say, I vacillate. Sometimes I think, well, yeah, maybe they did. You know? So I don't know. Most of the time I think it's, you know, because there's something, if we did it ourselves, that's almost like saying nobody can attack us. We're invulnerable. The only people that can attack America is America. And we're not invulnerable. We're porous. It's like, you know, humans walk around and say that man has no natural enemies. But, you know, little microscopic viruses strike us down all the time. So guys getting on airplanes with box cutters are like the microscopic viruses that get in the body of America, and kabloom, there's a heart attack. You know, I don't know. It's all open to conjecture. What do you think?
Wow. Well, it's really hard to put my thoughts into context, honestly. I think Bush obviously knew, and I think my personal feeling is that he had some hand, maybe not personally in it, but his people had some hand in actually planning it. And I think it's far deeper and far uglier than any of us would ever imagine. And frankly, it scares me to think about the truth of what really happened.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think it's pretty under any stretch of the imagination. I do think, though, and I will wager, I'll bet you, that there is a Pentagon Papers in there somewhere. Okay? And it's going to come out, and there are paper trails and email trails about these people talking to each other about what they will do when this happens, how everything is placed and we are ready, and showing that they wanted it. And when that comes out, I think we'll have some major fireworks.
It came out that, you know, sometime after 9/11, that I guess the U.S. CIA and other agencies, intelligence agencies, had some plan in place during John F. Kennedy's presidency.
Yeah, right, right. The airplanes?
Yeah, to attack American buildings and blame it on Cuba. So I don't know. I mean, that kind of popped into my mind when
I know.
When all this started coming out recently.
I know. Like I say, I go back and forth, and there's all the apparently the mayor of Los Angeles was told not to fly to New York the day before the attacks or 2 days before. There's
and
all
Willie
kinds
Brown.
Of
Brown.
Yeah,
Willie
there's all
Brown.
Kinds of weird stuff. Like, remember when the firemen and the police were duking it out?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Ground Zero. You know why that was? I have a friend who does volunteer Red Cross work from time to time. And he went to New York City to do volunteer Red Cross work, and he was there when that happened. What happened was the firemen going through the rubble found the gold. Something like $400 million worth of CIA gold.
In the basement of the World Trade Center. Okay.
Yes. And the fear was that the word would get out on the one hand and that they would start pocketing it on the other. So the cops were sent in to get them out of there, and it was this big thing. So then I start searching for CIA gold. Yeah, and it's there. If you want to find these things out, you can find them. So, it's dirty. It's ugly. It's dirty. It's really sleazy. And it's going to be a while before we get to figure it out, what it actually is, you know. But in the meantime, we've got a whole new situation on our hands. It ain't funny anymore.
And where do we go from here?
You got me. We just got to keep going. It's like, you know, a month ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that, 500,000 people in Italy for anti-EU demo. Didn't even make a blip in the papers here anywhere. 500,000?
And we have the G8 coming up in Canada, Alberta, at the end of the month here in June of 2002. And I read an article recently that they're preparing to use lethal force on demonstrators if need be. And this isn't an isolated out of
the G8?
You know,
in that demo?
Yeah, they're meeting in Alberta, somewhere in the middle of like a forest community in this little town in the middle of nowhere. And it's going to be a fortress, and they're going to have protests there, as well as in the capital in Ontario. And so they're preparing to use lethal force. I mean, we saw last year at the G8, before 9/11, Carlo Giuliani gunned down by the police there. And I read in the days after 9/11 that there was a terrorist threat levied against the G8 meeting.
I don't know. They can use that for anything now. Absolutely anything. There's a nuclear plant somewhere down like Kentucky or something that, you know, annually has their little demos there and you know, people ceremonially trespass and they get their little slap on the wrist ticket and so on. Well, this time they turned it into a felony. Okay, it used to be a slap on the wrist and a $20 fine, and you go home. Now they turned it into a felony, and it's because of 911. And I wouldn't be surprised if that sort of thing goes national.
We're talking to Jim Page here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is Rockin' the Boat. Do you have a song?
Yeah, I want to. Rather than that one, I'm going to do this one. We used to have elections that we don't bother anymore. Now it's just backroom dirty deals behind cloak and dagger doors. Oil money, family fortune, slapping each other on the back. Putting people's lives in their pockets and watching while the money stacks. Goodbye America, I'll say I knew you when. It was a long corner, turning, gonna be a long corner. Turning back again. We used to have our liberties back in the day, but it was for our own good that they took them away. Now it's Homeland Security following you around. Old George cut that cherry tree and I guess it finally hit the ground, cause there's a new George now, and he's got an axe of his own, and he's grinding it real sharp, and he's cutting it to the bone. Filet of America, and he'll feed it to the dogs, all for a bunch of good old boys riding high on the hog. Goodbye America, I'll say I knew you when. It was a long corner, turning, gonna be a long corner. Turning back again. I'm getting used to security and I'm getting used to the cops. I'm getting used to law and order when I don't know when to stop. I'm getting used to soldiers, I can see them in my sleep. I'm getting used to everything and that gives me the creeps. They say that once we were a beacon and we shone like a star, 200 years later, well, here we are, looking out at the world through bulletproof glass, following a gunslinger preppy with his head up his ass. Goodbye, America, I'll say I knew you when. It was a long corner, turning, gonna be a long corner, turning back again. We used to think we were so superior, we could tell God what to do. We thought we'd last forever, and we acted like it too. Living in a house of cards, waiting for a breeze, and I think I hear the wind blowing way up in the trees. But I got my compass, I got my flint rock spark. Nighttime is coming on, but I ain't afraid of the dark. I got my eye on the future, and it's all green and clover. So if we make it through this one, well, I'll meet you when it's over. Goodbye, America, I'll say I knew you when. It was a long corner, turning, gonna be a long corner, turning back again. Goodbye, America, I'll say I knew you when. It was a long corner, turning, gonna be a long corner, turning back again.
Jim Page, live here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. My name's V-Man. This is Rockin' the Boat. Jim, what was that called?
What is that called? That's called Long Corner Turning.
Long Corner Turning. Is that on your new release?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, track three there.
Yeah.
That brings other subjects to mind. This year, this month, in fact, it's 25 years since Leonard Peltier has been behind bars. On June 1st, 1977, just a little over 25 years ago, was when he was sentenced to two consecutive life terms, despite a lack of credible witnesses, no ballistic evidence to link him to the shooting deaths of two FBI agents on Pine Ridge.
And he is still in jail, despite the fact that the authorities have come out bluntly in public and said that they have no idea who killed those agents.
I recently interviewed Deborah Peebles, who's now the Leonard Peltier Defense Committee chairperson or coordinator, and she mentioned that he's coming up this month for parole hearing again, I believe, and I'm curious what your thoughts are. I mean, you've been following this case for a long time, as obviously.
Yeah. Well,
and wondering what you think of his chances in this, you know, new terrorist day and age that we live in.
I don't give it much of a chance, to be honest with you. I've been kind of involved in it since '77, and for a long time now, I figured the only way that Leonard could ever get out was if they gave him a pardon, because a pardon means he's guilty, but we excuse you, you know, and they can let him out, and they don't have to open that can of worms. Things might be a bit different, though, now. I think that haven't they sealed the freedom of information so you don't have access to that anymore?
I don't know that,
actually. Believe they have. Hmm. I remember hearing that. I can't keep everything in my head, but I think they have. You know, for a sense, you know, one of the things that Bush said when he addressed Congress on that day was that we have sealed all the presidential records. It's like all of a sudden that's there, too. And you go, what does this have to do with terrorism?
Right.
But all of a sudden all the records of all the past presidencies are sealed. If they don't want to show them to you, you don't get to see them.
Yeah.
That means his father. That means Reagan. That means everybody.
And Clinton, too.
Yeah, everybody.
Wow.
So, and I think they've also sealed that stuff. So, no, actually, I don't think Leonard. See, people, there's a bunch of stuff we have to get our heads straight about. I want to write a song that says it's okay. And what I mean by that is, if you start criticizing America or the Constitution or whatever, you always run into somebody who takes it personally and they rear up in your face. And what I want to say is, hey, man, look, it's okay. You didn't write it. You weren't there. You didn't own slaves. You didn't kill a bunch of Indians. It's okay. Relax.
Yeah.
Okay? I want to try to get that across, because that's what we need to do. A lot of people started coming out in public and on all the email lists and all that, and articles in the newspaper, arguing about when American foreign policy went bad. And they were talking about sometime in the 20s, sometimes in the 30s. You know, and I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. Okay, America became a country, so to speak, a state, in 1776, right? Okay, before that, it was a bunch of colonies. Well, how did those colonies get there? They were foreigners. They got here by virtue of bad foreign policy. It was French bad foreign policy, Spanish bad foreign policy, Dutch bad foreign policy, English bad. All of those are bad foreign policy. And don't take it personally. You didn't do it.
Right.
I didn't do it. But, you know, just admit it. Maybe if we start admitting some things. You know, it's like when the planes hit the towers, it's like I had a bunch of thoughts to go through my head. The first one was the Reichstag. The second one was, to be honest with you, what took you so long? That was my second thought. Well, like, finally, what took you so long? And then I carried this little phrase around in my head. for a while. And the phrase goes like this, and you have to put the pause in there to make it work. The phrase is, there is an armed psychopath loose in the world. And somebody just slapped him in the face. Okay, because when you say armed psychopath, people go, yeah, Bin Laden. Somebody just slapped him in the face. Like, oh.
Oh, you mean George W. Bush.
America, whatever America. You want to say. Because yeah. I had German dates to do that began basically 2 weeks after the attacks.
In Germany,
right.
Okay, so you had to fly overseas.
I had to fly overseas, and I got to experience everything. It's like going to SeaTac Airport was like, you know, for me it was like, well, isn't this familiar? This is Belfast. I used to fly in and out of Belfast on a regular basis and go around there and do gigs. You know, it's like, who are we to think that we are not going to have a demilitarized zone in downtown Seattle? That's what they had in Belfast, a demilitarized zone in the center of the city. And you had to get through, you know, barbed wire enclosures, searches, scans, armed guards to get into the demilitarized zone. And every store you wanted to get into, like the music store I wanted to buy strings, there was a cage outside. And there was a button. You pushed the button. They saw you. They opened it up. They let you into the cage. They took your picture. They opened the other door and you got inside the music store. This was in the demilitarized zone. Yeah. That was in the demilitarized zone.
Wow.
You know, and you got used to, you know, when the peacekeeper showed up on the streets of Seattle, it was the armored personnel carrier. Everybody goes, the peacekeeper. That's what they had in Belfast. It said the peacekeeper on the side of it. The same stuff. Militarily occupied wow. societies. Who are we to not have that?
Yeah.
So I'm going to the Seattle airport and it's Belfast. Okay, fine. Finally, we're there. So it doesn't bother me that much. It's just like, oh, this is familiar. But this is America. This isn't Great Britain, which is falling apart at the seams. This is America, which is falling apart at the seams. But we have a few more guns. So we'll see how it goes. But anyway, I go over there, and a lot of people, they want to know, like, what America is going to do. You know, what do I think it's going to do? And, like, why are we responding like this?
Yeah.
You know, people get attacked, and, like, well, shit, maybe sometimes you just get attacked. Maybe it's not such a big deal. How many people did we kill in Hiroshima? You want to start going through this stuff in your head, the numbers, right? And we're like, what caused the attacks? But we don't do that as a country. We don't say, why did anything happen? All we say is, you hit me, so I'm going to break your arm. You know, that's what Israel, that's what the Israeli army's been doing.
Yeah.
You know, if you throw a rock at me, I'm going to blow up your house.
Yeah.
You know, hello, that's just, so you breed. So no matter what they do, they're going to breed resistance. And I think it's going to get ugly, but I expect ugliness and I expect heroism. I expect brilliance and darkness simultaneously. Both of those.
In the liner notes to your Music at Big Red here, you have a couple quotes I'd like you to comment on. The straight line is artificial and has to be maintained. Whoever invented it probably didn't realize how much trouble it would be or how many fortunes would be made and lost defending its fragile geometry. It goes on, but I'd like you to comment on that.
Well, you know, nature doesn't have any straight lines in it. You know, a laser beam is supposed to be the straightest thing you can get, but according to all of the theories that I know about, if you shoot one out into space long enough, it's going to bend. You know, you've got this curved space-time thing. Nature just wants to bend things. You have to send road crews out there to maintain the straight walls along the freeway. Armies like to march in straight lines. You know, if you sign away your life on a mortgage thing, you sign on a straight line. It's not wave. Straight line thinking means do this now, and that's unnatural. The natural thing is to do it when it needs to be done, not now because you told me to. So that all has to be maintained by incentive, coercion, and force. Those three things. And that's just kind of a generalized philosophical comment, I guess, on the straight line. I think wherever you look at like fascism existing, you'll see some sort of straight line enforcement. If you allow people to behave the way that they need to, I think you'll find they're really smart. I think people are really very smart, and they're also very generous, gregarious. They like to have fun. They love each other, you know, and they're lighthearted, I think,
yeah.
If they're allowed to be. But when you start building boxes, Indian people will talk about the danger of living in houses with corners. You know, you can live in your square world in a house with corners. You know, going down to the Navajo, they live in round houses called hogans.
Right.
It's round. You know, everything is round eventually, you know.
You have a song called Everything Is Round.
Everything Is Round, yeah.
We're talking with Jim Page here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Jim, you got another song you want to play there?
Yeah. Or? I'll do this one. such a pretty girl, as she walks into the market with the people all around her and the air so sweet and soft. Such a pretty girl, now who would ever guess it, that she's wired with explosives till the bomb goes off. Mother, did you know her? Did she have a big bright smile? Was her heart full of love for the life all ahead of her? And did you know them? Were they the children of their parents? And will they be remembered for who they really were? And who would ever do a thing like that? Has to be a reason. There has to be a reason. There has to be a reason for that. Ignorance is easy when you look the other way. And if you just don't listen, well, you can say that you didn't hear a little voice calling. It's like talking to a brick wall. And the pressure keeps building year after year. Someone's got the power. Now what they gonna do with it? Are they gonna keep pushing down with the great big thumb? Anybody might snap if they don't see a future. Another little girl, another little bomb. And who would ever do a thing like that? There has to be a reason. There has to be a reason. There has to be a reason for that. You say you got a symptom, you go to see the doctor. You wanna know the reason, 'cause you wanna find a cure. Well, we have a sickness, we're shooting at the symptoms. It's only gonna get worse, I know that much for sure. And who would ever do a thing like that? There has to be a reason. 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 There has to be a reason for that.
Jim Page, live here in our studios here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. That was, I have to assume, There Has to Be a Reason.
That's a pretty good guess.
Off your new CD here?
Yeah, I wrote that because I was back in the East Coast, and I was doing, I've got this song called Palestine, which I wrote like 12 years ago, which is basically a simple song about Palestine. And I kept having these well-meaning, but I would have to say under-informed people coming up to me and saying, well, I understand what you're saying and all that, but what about the victims? What about the, you know, and they go on to all this thing, and it's like, okay. So I would try to talk to them, and then it dawned on me, I'm being asked to write a song. So I'm going to write a song. And I think that's a good thing to do if people are arguing with you or contradicting you. They're asking you to come up with something. I mean, why not? It gives us more to do, not that we don't have enough already, but I'd like to do a couple of songs, if you wouldn't mind.
Not at all.
Because they are connected. When I went to Germany and people started asking me all these questions, I sat down a couple of times at this cafe. It's easy to write sometimes, or sometimes not. Sometimes it's easier to write when people around you are speaking other languages because you don't get sidetracked and stuff. And all this stuff was going on. I'm reading the foreign language press every day. I mean, the English language press is foreign there. Every day. The English papers, International Herald Tribune. You know, and I'm reading all the stuff, everything that I can find. And, you know, like they say, the stuff you get outside the country is much more intelligent than the stuff you get in the country. So anyway, I wrote two songs, and this is the first one. And this is written from the point of view of, you know, a well-meaning person who, for whatever reason, never paid much attention to things. And all of a sudden, this happens. And they've seen some stuff, and there's things that make them wonder, but they never started to put the dots together. Because my own theory is everybody has enough evidence from the mainstream to start seeing things, okay? Everybody. But if you start to see things, and if you start to dig, and you start to get, if you start to get a hold of a pattern, if you start to see a pattern, you will be given a feeling that you need to do something. And if you're living in a population, in a country where the population has been disempowered to such a phenomenal degree as we have, you know, alienated psychologically, then that's a horrible feeling to have, that you need to do something, but there's nothing you can do. So people intentionally don't put the dots together because they don't want that. That's ulcers. That's, you know, going to a shrink. That's all kinds. That's alcoholism. That's all kinds of stuff to stop from thinking and to make that feeling go away. So that's my own personal feeling. So anyway, this is also one of the first questions that was going around in those early days was, who are they and why do they hate us? So that's why this, that's what this is called. I never thought I'd come under attack. Now the world is changing, there's no going back. And danger at my shoulder and it's gaining fast. Questions I'm afraid of, but I have to ask. Who are they? And why do they hate us? Well, I was raised to believe in this American dream. All the greatness and glory, the way that it seemed. How God was on our side and God doesn't lie. So why do all these innocent people have to die? Who are they? And why do they hate us? Every color in the cloth has a history to tell. Ships across the ocean and the Liberty Bell. Heroes in the monuments, I know them by name. But now their granite jaws are shattered and their eyes are full of rain. My neighbor, she's a foreigner, I can't pronounce her name. When she talks about her homeland, her face fills with pain. She said she lost her children when the missiles hit. I don't know what to say, so I just change the subject. Who are they? And why do they hate us? I see the TV news and they're burning my flag in some faraway land where it's just another rag. The looks on their faces, they make me freeze. How in the world did we make so many enemies? Who are they? And why do they hate us? They tell me there are reasons for unthinkable acts. Rage and retribution won't bring anybody back. Justice is alive, so subtle and sublime. Well, I'd like to believe them, but we're running out of time. I never paid much attention, guess I should have known. Every faraway country is somebody's home. Empires rise and empires fall. The world is big enough, there should be room for us all. Who are they? And why do they hate us? So then, so I wrote this one too. And all the way back on the airplane, of course, I'm thinking, well, what am I going into now? My main fear about leaving the country was that the borders would be sealed off. Something massive would be declared. The borders would be sealed off. I would never be able to get back home. Or at least not for, you know, X amount of years. And I would wind up being one of those people you're reading about in the history books that, you know, whatever. And then I started worrying about when I go home, well, now, you know, this songs like that one, or particularly this next one, could be considered treasonous. So when I started singing them outside, basically on the street in Seattle, in fact, boy, my attention would like go into overdrive, you know, and I'm looking around to see what people are doing. And this one day, I'm singing this next song I'm going to sing here, and there's a guy standing right next to me. And looks like a Vietnam vet. He's about my age. It looks like he's been around, you know, he's been around. And he's burning holes in me with his eyes, just burning into my eyes. I'm singing this song. I'm thinking, okay, here we go. You know, and I don't know what to expect. I finish the song. He walks right up to me, looks me right in the face and said, that was fucking brilliant, and walks off. He comes back later with his buddy, and he's a high school teacher in Beaverton, Oregon, which is an upper middle class white suburb, right? And he wants me to go down there and sing that song to the entire student body. So we organize, and I go down there one day in December, second week of December, and I do four shows, and I do what I do to the entire student body of the Beaverton High School in Beaverton, Oregon. And so far as I know, he hasn't been fired.
What's Beaverton? What kind of community is that?
Well, like I say, the high school is fairly new, and the housing around it looked fairly new, and it looks to be, and so far as they were explaining to me, it's mostly white, upper middle class.
And you said that the teacher didn't get fired, so how did the students react?
The students reacted very well.
Wow.
I got one Ditto Head clone, okay, who challenged me on some stuff. And what he said was, I see you're wearing Nikes, you know, and I said, yeah, $4 in the thrift store. You got a problem with that? You know, and you could just tell that he learned this stuff from his dad, right? But other than that, everybody responded very well. You know, and anyway, this is the song. Okay, put yourself in my shoes. You know, like a month after, 3 weeks after the Trade Tower thing. Well, they could hardly wait to get their triggers loaded when the airplanes hitting the towers exploded. You should have seen them on the big TV. It was the first great war of the 21st century. The flames are still burning. They already had their man. They said he was hiding in the mountains of Afghanistan. We asked to see the evidence. They said they couldn't show. This is war, they said, and that's all you need to know. America, you're scaring me, you're making me ashamed. You're going out for blood, and I can't let you do it. Not in my American name. You want to talk about the body count? Well, let's run it up the mast. Almost 3,000 people died in that New York City blast. And there's about 5,000 people every month that you kill, strangling Iraq for a dirty dollar bill. And you want to talk about brutality? All right, let's get it out. Depleted uranium, now what's that all about? Innocent victims, can you even see their tears? Irradiated homelands for 4 billion years. And you want to talk about the terrorists and what makes them run? Well, you taught them everything they know. You even gave them their guns. Every killer with a grudge is just a tool to be used. And then you forget about them until they make the news. America, you're scaring me, you're making me ashamed. You're going out for blood and I can't let you do it. Not in my American name. eye for an eye is the justice that you claim. Yeah, but the numbers that we're talking about are a whole different game. Millions of people have no safe place to hide. That's not justice, my friend, that's genocide. So I'm gonna have my say, and I'll say it loud and clear. In every crowd, in every corner, every place I can find an ear. And you can try to shut me up, but no matter what you do, I got a right to speak, cause I'm American too. America, you're scaring me and making me ashamed. You're going out for blood, and I can't let you do it. Not in my American name. America, you're scaring me and making me ashamed. You're going out for blood and I just can't let you do it. Not in my American name.
Jim Page performing live here in our studios here at 96.3 FM. The number in studio is 427-FRSC, and it looks like we do have that first caller. Hi, you're on
Ask
the air.
Ask the officer what his name is.
You're live on the air.
Hi, this is Judith Aka Isometria. Jim, the first
yes.
time I heard you play was on Whidbey Island. I used to live next door to Mr. and Mrs. Tom Page.
Oh, my goodness.
Is
okay.
Is he still alive?
Yes, he is.
But Jackie died.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew that. They were such wonderful people and big fans of yours, and that's when I first saw you on Whidbey Island.
Yeah, well, Tom is my adopted father, you know.
I think you were playing with Sam Weiss. I know. I'm so privileged. My life is so blessed, and here I am in Santa Cruz. And I have the only official tape I have of yours is, well, I have some things I record off free radio, is the one you did with Artis.
Oh, yeah, on the sidewalk again.
Do you still work with him?
Yes, I do from time to time, but, you know, he had a heart attack.
Recently?
Yeah, he had a heart attack like about a month ago.
Is he still in Port Townsend?
He's in Seattle,
uh-huh.
And he's recuperating now. I mean, he'll be okay, but it's, you know, it's kind of a wake-up call.
He really does have a lot. His playing of the spoons, if anyone doesn't know listening, he's the spoon man. And
yeah, it's amazing.
He's pretty famous, and you guys really made some great music on the streets in Seattle. I also wanted to ask you a question, if you don't mind. Is that band Rumors of the Big Wave still together?
No.
Oh, but I love their name. Don't you love their name?
Yeah, I know, but it's not a rumor anymore, is it?
Rumors of the Big Wave should be said. Such a poem. Okay. Well, I love you. I love your music, and your latest music is so great. I've heard some of cuts on the radio, and it sounds like you have some violin with you and stuff.
Yeah, that's Billy Oskay.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Excellent. Well, glad you like it.
Thanks. Well, God bless you, and keep safe, and keep going with the struggle.
Okay, thanks.
I love you.
Thanks for your call, Judith.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. And you are indeed tuned into Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, FRSC. We have Jim Page in our studios.
I was going to say something, and it's... I'm afraid of my... Oh, I know what it was. Another wonderful news flash this morning that
more
I saw.
News.
Okay, now I didn't have a lot of time because I was doing a lot of stuff today, so I didn't read it in thoroughness, but it's there. They believe they have found the mastermind behind the 911 attacks.
Oh, yeah, I read.
Right, it was not Osama bin Laden.
One of his lieutenants in
whatever. It's like, I remember when Bush gets out there and says, we are going to get Osama. There's no place you can hide. There's no place you can run, wanted, dead or alive, all this stuff. They can't find him. So guess what? Now the story changes to he never was a target. Okay,
yeah.
And just like a month ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, a general comes out and says, well, you know, what we did in Afghanistan was to topple a government who attacked us.
Really?
Yes, he said that. And I remember when the government of Afghanistan just happened to be playing host to the terrorist organization that attacked us. So all these things have been changing.
Now,
I've come to the conclusion that the most radical thing a person can do, or the first most radical step a person can take in America, is to start remembering things. And then we can go from there. You know, it's weird. Okay, well, maybe I'll do one more song. Uh-oh. dead air. If I could face the day the way the sunlight does, if I could rise with the morning mist, then I would know the way that the water fish swims. I could hold the lessons in my fist. We are dying, say the elders, and we don't even know this is only a temporary peace. We're only waiting for the outcome to show and the endings to be released. Behind the silence of a great stone wall, the howling of a new wilderness, beyond the distance of a great stone wall, it will change, it will change. It wasn't always like this. I've been to places where the clocks don't tick and they laugh at the hard straight line, where history looks through a baby's eyes and the line of the future is a good sign. Some laws are made of barbed wire and they lean to the privileged few, but reality shoots from behind a blade of grass and its aim is true. Behind the silence of a great stone wall, the howling of a new wilderness, beyond the distance of a great stone wall, it will change, it will change. It wasn't always like this. Well, there's a warfare fought in the bloodstream now, and truth is a thing to be praised. The lie gets mean and it hides in the marrow and it waits for the sticks to be raised. And the dry rattle breath of the exit time is a wake-up call to your ear. But the feel of a fist at the end of your arm is the answer to your tears. Behind the silence of a great stone wall, the howling of a new wilderness, beyond the distance of a great stone wall, it will change, it will change. It wasn't always like this. Well, they tell me there's light at the end of the tunnel, and sometimes I think I see. Like the dissident glint in the eye of a needle or the glitter of a soul set free. There's a song that they sing in the worst of times to lift your spirit in the wings and fly. Way on the other side of that storm cloud wall, dancing in a clear blue sky. Behind the silence of a great stone wall, the howling of a new wilderness, beyond the distance of a great stone wall, it will change, it will change. It wasn't always like this. My name is Jim Page, and this is Free Radio Santa Cruz, and this is the finest radio station on the planet. And if you don't know that, you better figure it out soon because you're going to need this.
Why would they need this?
This is exactly what they need. This is exactly what we all need because we can talk about what we know about on a radio station like this. You don't have to worry about the sponsor calling in and saying, don't, you know, it's like you're trying to talk about nuclear issues on a television station, on a television network, which is basically owned by General Electric. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
You know? So what we need is people's airwaves. We need people's broadcasting. We need this. I don't know how far your signal goes, but it doesn't go far enough. That's what, but we need this.
We're here with Jim Page. Jim, do you have any final thoughts? I know you probably want to get some food in you.
Oh, I don't know. Just, you know, keep talking, keep thinking. I kind of do have a final thought, I guess. This is just the way my mind works, okay? I'm not saying that anybody else's brain should work this way. But there are basically, when you get right down to the nuts and bolts of it, there are only two possible futures. One is survival and the other is annihilation. And if we survive, we are going to win. There's no other way to survive. Okay, there just isn't. So either we survive, either we succeed is a better word than win. Either we succeed or we are annihilated. Now, okay, you could look at them as wave forms, you know, a form, you know, that represents a certain, you know, condition of reality. There's an experiment they do called Schrödinger's cat, and if I understand it correctly, there's a cat in the box, and in with the cat is a cyanide pellet suspended over a little jar of little dish of acid. The Okay, and the trigger to set off that cyanide pellet is if it is struck with a piece of decaying matter from, a radioactive material. The box is sealed. And as long as the box is sealed, according to the theory, the cat is simultaneously alive and dead. Both realities are, in fact, a reality. Only it's a thought experiment. No one's ever done it. You wouldn't do it. But it's a thought experiment to show the effect of observation on reality. When you observe the cat, one of the realities stays in place and the other waveform collapses. So I think about that sometimes. Okay, we could either succeed or fail, either be annihilated or we'll succeed. If we are annihilated, that wave function of success, and as a matter of fact, all of our history, because the world would be annihilated, will collapse. So nothing that we've ever done will matter. So if that's the case, if we fail, then I don't pay any attention to it. Why would you pay attention to the possibility that nothing will matter? So really, the only choice worth paying attention to or considering, to me, is success. Survival and success. The other one, everything collapses, nothing matters, we won't exist anymore. What I'm doing now, what you're doing now, will all be wiped off of everybody's slate. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense at all?
It does, but it also brings up another third point, at least the way I, from my perspective in the world, is that we could succeed, quote-unquote, and still survive. Or rather, we could survive and yet still be annihilated at some point. I mean, we could succeed and stop global warming, stop driving, stop doing all these negative things in the planet, and it's still too late.
Well, in that case, then we won't survive.
Yeah.
I think
so. It could be too late. We may have already crossed the threshold as well.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I hope not. I somehow think that, you know, I don't know.
It's really hard to say.
I don't know. It's a mess, man. I don't know. It's a mess. But to me, the only one that I want to put my energy into is success.
Yeah.
Because the other one is just going to drain you down, drag you down, make you not do anything, make you stare at the wall, shoot up drugs, whatever, do nothing. And because the result of the other one is nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, if we're all going to be annihilated, what difference does that choice make? It won't make any difference. That's my point, I guess. It won't make any difference. The only choice that makes a difference is survival and success. That's the only choice that makes a difference to me. So as ugly and long and drawn out and difficult as it might be, that's the only one that I'm interested in, you know.
How do we survive? At this point, how do we turn back the clock?
You don't get to turn back the clock. You got to turn it ahead in the right direction. You got to go ahead in the right direction. You know, we got to start talking about dismantling things. We got to make people aware. We got to start talking about taking the big stuff and making it smaller. We got to start talking about arresting some of these people and putting them in jail.
Yeah.
Okay, there are some people out there that need to go in jail, and there are a lot of people in jail that need to come out.
Yeah.
There's plenty of jails. We don't need any more. We just need to change the population of those jails a little bit. Okay? I am not in favor of, you know, capital punishment necessarily, but I am in favor of locking certain people up because they are a danger to society, keeping them away from the rest of us, you know? And I don't know. People get smart enough, aware enough. I mean, I can't come up with the answer, neither can you, but enough of us, someone will see something and it'll get out there. I used to work with a Swedish record company called Naxxving, and their logo, you've seen it around in other permutations. Usually, actually, the Christians use it these days.
Huh.
What it is on the top of the logo is a large fish eating a bunch of small ones. And on the bottom of the logo, all the small fish have organized into the shape of a large fish, which is larger than the large fish, and they're eating it. You know, and that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good. And we can do that. You know, we can do that. You just hope that the psychotics don't want to go out with a bang. If they realize they're going to go out anyway, take everybody with them. That's always possible. We have no choice but to pay attention, put the parts together, and do something with what we construct. It's the only choice we have. And we have no choice except to envision and act upon our own eventual success. We don't have any choice there either.
We've been talking with Jim Page today and performing. He's been performing some of his new music for us today. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jim.